we go. Psalm 150 says this. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What are we here to do today? Praise the Lord, we are. Let's pray. Lord, we come in worship this morning, recognizing your surpassing greatness. We thank you for all you are to each one of us, and we come humbly to worship you before your throne of grace this morning. Amen. When Susan Deacon comes, she often has a word of the day. So I've got a word of the day. I've gone for surpassing. Surpassing, it's a big word. What I want to encourage you to do today is to think big. So we're going to think big today. And we're going to start by singing a great old hymn of praise. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Our first reading is from Ephesians 3. It's Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. When we do our Bible studies, we often start by saying, is there anything that strikes you in this passage? Is there anything that you notice? Now, I'm not going to ask you to tell me, but as I read it, I just want you to think, is there anything that you notice in this passage? Is there anything that strikes you in it? This is Paul writing. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, there's that word again, that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So we're going to come back to that passage a bit later in the service. But I wanted to share with you first a few thoughts from a book that I've been reading called Courage for the Discouraged by Simon Lawton. Now, those of you who were here a few weeks ago, I read a few words from it on a chapter about suffering. And this chapter is called As a Man Thinks, and it got me thinking. So I first read this chapter when I was at a museum with Richard, my husband. We'd gone on holiday in the summer, and we were at an aviation museum. Now, we've both got our things. I agreed to go to the aviation museum, and Richard agreed to go to the RSPB sanctuary so I could look at the birds. So that's not really his thing, and the aviation museum wasn't really my thing. Although, having said that, I must admit that there were some rather interesting things there. And before I read this particular part in the book, I'd been to a display on the Royal Observer Corps. Extremely brave people in the Second World War, if you ever get a chance to read about them. So that was a really good bit. And I also learned how they do aerial refueling. Has anybody seen that? Yes, I thought you might have done, Seth. It involves this kind of flappy tube and this kind of cone thing, and they've got to come together in midair. It's incredible. It's an incredible thing to behold. But anyway, by this point, I'd decided that I'd had enough of the aviation museum, and I found a little corner, and I sat down, and I'd been reading about people of courage, so I found on my Kindle the next chapter in this book, Courage for the Discouraged, which seemed suitable. And so this chapter was called As a Man Thinks, and it talked about changing the way we think and how it can transform our lives if we change the way we think. So the first words grabbed me. It said, would you say your glass is half empty or half full? The way you respond to this age-old question may reflect your outlook on life, your attitude towards yourself, and whether you feel optimistic or pessimistic about your life. Our thoughts shape our attitudes, actions, and words. Minister and columnist Dr. Frank Crane said, our best friends and our worst enemies are our thoughts. That's an interesting quote, isn't it? Our best friends and our worst enemies are our thoughts. It's certainly true that our thoughts have incredible power over our lives. How we think dictates who we are and how we live. It controls our attitudes, behaviours, words and actions. The way we think sets the tone in all our relationships and has power to influence the spiritual atmosphere anywhere we're present. So, That got me thinking, particularly the first words about glass half empty or glass half full, because I know that I tend to be a bit of a glass half empty person and can be a bit negative. I'm a bit of a worrier and get a bit anxious. My natural way of thinking is that I'm not quite good enough, and that the negative consequences of my decisions or my actions or my mistakes, all the what ifs I go through, and I do this thing called catastrophizing. Anybody come across that word? Catastrophic thinking. You can imagine what it is. So the worst possible thing that could happen, I'll think about it. And there was a time in my life where I knew that I needed to change this because it was making me miserable and indecisive, and it was affecting others around me. So when I read the words in this book, I thought, yeah, I know he's right, because these ingrained patterns of thinking are quite difficult to break when you've thought like that all your life. And at this time in my life, I learned some helpful tools to deal with that. But also, one of the most helpful things I did was, with some of you here, the Grace Course. So the Grace Course talks of God's grace, and it changed the way I thought about myself. And I started thinking of myself as God's daughter, as a child of grace. And it changed my attitude towards myself. And actually, my recent experiences in hospital in Australia made me realise that perhaps I'm a more positive and tougher person than I thought I was. Let me read a little more. In order to change your life, you must change your thinking. That will be particularly hard if you've been thinking a certain way for many years. But with God's help, it can be done. The Apostle Paul encourages us with these words. This is from Romans. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The New Living Translation translates it like this. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So if you'll allow me to give another personal example about changing the way I thought about things had helped the outcome, and that is in the music cafe. Some of you will know Martin from Kingsthorpe. He came to talk, and there was something that got me thinking. He talked about churches not having a gospel service where we can feel we can invite people along. And so this got the thoughts going in my head. And I had an idea of having a sort of music-based thing. Now, I've played my cello with Sandra and Carol at other places. We've done kind of musical fellowship evenings. And during lockdown, Isham Chapel was one of the first churches to reopen after COVID. And I was one of the first people to go and take a service there. I'd never taken a service before. And you may remember back then, we weren't allowed to sing, were we? So I thought, well, I could just have some recorded music, or I could try and do something live just to make it a bit more personal. So I took my cello along, and it was a bit of a risk, but they were so appreciative. It was so lovely, and it made me a little bit braver. And it got me thinking about this music cafe idea that we could invite people and make them welcome and have some music. But my mind started going, well, I'm not really good enough to perform. I'll make mistakes. I'm usually playing my cello over there. I'm playing the bass line. I'm kind of hiding behind everybody else, and I'm comfortable with that. I knew I was going to be nervous, and I started thinking, What are people going to think? What if people think that I'm showing off? And that doesn't fit well with thinking I'm not really good enough to perform, does it? And then something changed my thinking about it, and I thought, this isn't a performance. This is an offering. This is something that I can offer. And the first time I did it, there's other people who have joined me since, but it was just me and my cello, and I thought, I'll give it a go, see who comes along, expecting maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 people. And those of you that were here, there was quite a crowd, wasn't there? Which was terrifying. As I was sitting here on this seat, I did think I could quite easily run away just now. But I began to feel differently about it. I changed the way I thought about it, and therefore that changed how I felt about it. And yes, I'm still nervous and I still practice hard, but I feel differently about it because it's something I'm offering. My thoughts changed. Let me just read you a few more thoughts from the book. There are certain things that he had decided he will do. So I will do this. I will be shaped and influenced by the word of God, guarding my heart and mind from other worldly influences and taking care over what I watch and read and listen to. I will choose to walk by faith, not by sight. That's from 2 Corinthians. I will seek the mind of Christ and his thoughts. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 says, we have the mind of Christ. I will dwell on the right things. Let me read you this verse, this wonderful verse from Philippians. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Good advice, I think. I will choose my position, being positive, faith-filled, and expectant. I will accept that I can't always see the full picture. Only God can see that. I will watch my self-talk and believe the best about myself. I am a child of God. I will surprise everyone, even in the midst of discouragement and challenge, by being the most positive person in the room. I think I've got to work on that one a little bit, but all the same, some good advice, I thought. Now, I know I'm never going to be one of those people who will say, don't worry, it'll all be fine, when clearly it won't be. And I'm not sure that I want to be, because that's a bit annoying, isn't it? But I have been challenged by the words of this book and various things over the years, and realise that I can choose to be more positive, more deliberate in my thinking, to be kinder and more encouraging to others, but also to myself a little bit. And maybe some of you need to hear that this morning, that you need to be a little bit kinder to yourself. At the end of each chapter, there's a prayer. So let's pray. My mind is a battlefield of late. I'm aware that my thinking hasn't always been godly, right, or true. I take captive every thought that does not conform to Christ. Please forgive me. Help me to adopt your thoughts about you, myself, and others, and my life. I want my mind to be filled with the wonderful things your word describes: faith, hope, grace, love, joy, peace, kindness, and patience. I want to think about things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. May my attitudes, behaviours, and actions change as a result. Father, thank you that your Spirit helps me to have self-discipline and a sound mind. In fact, your word declares that I have the mind of Christ. May my life be totally renewed by the transformation of my mind, and may those closest to me notice the difference for your glory and honour. Lord, we all pray this prayer for ourselves. Amen. We've got a short video now, which is, Sandra and Darren had asked for this to be shown, which is what happens when the children open their shoeboxes that we get together for Christmas. It's a very short video, and it's just really joyful. It's in Moldova, I believe. This is in Moldova.
Так. Что, ребята, вам понравился сюрприз?
Isn't that a happy little thing? So I don't know if Darren and Sandra, you want to add anything to that? Or just to see you, yeah, come on, Darren. Thanks, Dan. Let's sing again. We rest on thee.
Thank you.
I want to read our short passage, that powerful prayer of Paul's from Ephesians again. But let me just give you a little background to this, because he starts saying, for this reason. So I just want to read a few verses from the previous chapter, which shows a little bit of the background, which is that Paul is writing to the Ephesians, who will mainly be Gentiles. So they are people that haven't been included before. They've been excluded. And he is including them. And he says this, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. And then he goes on to talk about his mission to the Gentiles. And so he is in prison. He's in prison at this time. So let me read that prayer again. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Fantastic prayer, isn't it? Fantastic prayer. What do we pray for? What do we pray for ourselves? What do we pray for each other? Is there a different way of praying? This prayer of Paul's has really challenged me as to how I pray. What are my prayers like? Well, I do praise God. I praise God and I thank him. I pray for others. In recent years, I think I thank God a bit more for little things. I'm more grateful. But all too often, what I bring to God is help. So help my friend, help my loved one. Help this person that needs healing, help this person that's suffering. Which is a good thing to pray, isn't it? We should be praying these things. But my help prayers are often, help me out of this mess, because I don't know what to do. Guide me, give me wisdom. But Paul's prayer is very different, isn't it, to those sort of prayers. He's asking for the big, important stuff, for things of eternal importance, which will revolutionise the daily lives of the people that he's praying for, the Ephesians. They will connect people with God. And what he wants for them, what he's asking, is just brilliant. It's an amazing short prayer. Paul knows who God is, and he knows what the Ephesians need. It's big, powerful, awesome stuff. And yes, we do need to pray for health and for healing and for help. But this is more than that, isn't it? Are we desiring those eternal, immeasurable things for ourselves and for each other? There are a few words that stood out to me when I read it. So I just want to briefly point those out, and then we're going to pray that prayer together. So firstly, It says some things about God. Paul recognises and acknowledges and declares who God is. So in verse 16, he is powerful. In verse 18, he is loving. And in verse 20, he is able. He is powerful, he is loving, he is able. This is the God that we approach in prayer. And who is he praying for? Who does this prayer apply to? Well, first of all, it applies to the Ephesians. That's who he's writing to at the time. But this was one of Paul's letters that was in general circulation. So he's praying it for the church in general. And because we're reading it now, he's praying it for us, in a way. He's praying it for you and me. And we can pray it for the people that we pray for. Did you notice that it says he kneels before God? There's a humility and a reverence about the prayer. And then he asks for some amazing things. He asks that you be strengthened with power. How? Through God's Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So in this prayer, there's God's part. So he's asking for God's strength, for God's power, and for God's Spirit. And then there's our part, which is just having the faith to allow that. So God does the rest. God has the strength and the power and fills us with his Spirit. He prays that you be rooted and established in love, that you have the power to grasp the love of Christ. How wide, long, high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know it, although it surpasses knowledge. So he's praying that we know the love of God, which is unknowable, but he prays that we will know it and be filled with it. So there was that word surpasses or surpassing, which appeared again. And there was a verse that I wanted to read to you, talking about peace that surpasses understanding. And I had a bit of trouble finding it, because actually in the NIV, it uses the word transcends rather than surpasses. But it's the same kind of thing. It's the same big words. It says this. This is Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends or surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then at the end of the prayer, Paul says, glory to God forever, because he can do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Immeasurably, another big word. Because he is powerful and his power is at work in us. So with those thoughts in mind, let's come to God with our prayers of intercession, using this as a pattern for our prayers. So Lord God, we recognise that you are powerful, that you are loving, and that you are able to do so much more than we could ask or imagine. Lord, we pray for ourselves. We pray that our hearts and minds may be Christ-filled. That by your Holy Spirit you would dwell in our hearts, that you would root us deeper in love, and you would give us the power to truly know that love. Lord Jesus, you asked us to pray for our enemies. So this morning we pray for our enemies, for those who persecute us, for those who we find difficult and make our lives difficult. So just bring to your minds those people that you're struggling with at the moment. Help us, Lord, to think of these people with kindness and compassion. May they know your love. May they find peace in the Prince of Peace. Lord, we pray for those who suffer. I've been asked to mention Tegan and her family this morning. Lord, we bring them before you. And again, bring to your minds those people that you know who are suffering at the moment that you want to bring before God. Lord, may these people know how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. May they know it and have that peace that transcends understanding. And Lord, we pray this morning for our Christian brothers and sisters. We think particularly of church leaders, missionaries, those with responsibilities, those who have served you and are serving you now, those who have had influence on our lives. And Lord, we remember those people before you this morning. Lord, may they be strengthened with power through your Spirit. May your love dwell in their hearts through faith. Lord, give them the power that comes from being rooted and established in love. Lord, you are powerful, you are loving, and you are able always. Amen. Now, as we come to communion, let's sing Within the Veil. Perhaps remain seated for this and sing reflectively. The Apostle Paul said these words, For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So that's what we do this morning. And as we've just sung, we come into the holy place. We come to meet God. When Jesus was crucified, the curtain of the temple, the veil, was torn in two, so that we may come into the most holy place, that we may approach God. And so let's just have a short time of silence where we confess anything to God that might be preventing us from drawing near to him. So we come as we are invited to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, to remember his suffering, to remember he was crucified, but that he rose again, to remember his glory, his surpassing greatness, his holiness. And this morning we can approach the throne of grace and the throne of glory. A couple of weeks ago, I was at a women's conference. I went and joined the Anglicans. And the speaker there, Kirsten Guthrie, she talked about Jesus being the pioneer that goes ahead of us. So he's the pioneer in death, that he has experienced death and resurrection ahead of us. And he also is the pioneer in temptation. He's been tempted by all things. And she described him as our older brother that leads the way, and that we follow him. He doesn't just tell us where to go and leave us, but we follow him. He is with us. So would Darren and Joy come and join me to serve, but also pray for them as they have recently been elected as deacons, so Joy re-elected and joining the diaconate. So let's pray for these two. Lord, we thank you for these two servants of yours who have been willing to serve you in this way on the diaconate, the leadership team of this church. We thank you, Lord, for their willingness. We thank you, Lord, for what they're giving. And we pray, Father God, that you would give them the strength and the wisdom and the patience that they will need in this task. Lord, we thank you for them. Amen. So, it was on the night that he was betrayed that Jesus took bread, and in front of his disciples, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And he asked them, as he asks us, to do this in remembrance of him. All who love the Lord Jesus Christ and would like to love him more are invited to share in this communion this morning. So please take the bread and eat it as you receive it, and remain in prayer. I got distracted by praying for Joy and Darren, and I forgot the book of prayer. Please, could you pray before we receive the wine?
Let us pray. Prayfully, joyfully, reflectively, we gather at this table. At this table, God invites you to share in the banquet of life. The meal we share is provided by God. The table belongs to Him, not the church and not the people. So it is Him that invites all of us to seek to walk in the way to eat and to drink from it. Come and taste the grace eternal. Come and see that God is good. May the love of God, the strength of Christ, and the comfort of the Spirit be with you. We gather here with hearts of thanksgiving and praise. We give thanks for all the gifts which you have blessed us with. We offer our thanks and praise, and we offer prayers for those who find the life challenging and difficult this day. May all who struggle in the life know that they are not alone, that they are held in a love that will never let them go. We just ask this in your name. Amen.
And so after the supper, Jesus took the cup of wine in the same way. And so we remember the blood shed by Jesus. And we give thanks for it. We thank God that Jesus died, but he rose again. And so as we receive the cup, we'll retain it and we will drink together. So as we drink, we remember the new covenant in Christ's blood so that we can come within the veil and draw near to the throne of grace. Remembering the deep love of Christ, our final hymn is, "Here is love, vast as the ocean." So as a final blessing, I want to use Paul's prayer again. May God strengthen you with power by his Spirit. May Christ dwell in you through faith. May you be rooted and established in love. May you know that love that surpasses knowledge. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.